Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
Good morning, Burt Show. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Doing all right?
Can't complain.
How's everybody's Easter? How was your Easter?
My Easter was pretty non-eventful, if you will. I don't know. Maybe I'm having a boring weekend because I have big plans for this upcoming weekend. I feel like I need to have that kind of balance.
Yeah.
Like you have to recharge that battery so you're ready to go for the plans that you actually have made.
Yeah.
So for me, I just kind of kept it low-key. I didn't really do anything crazy. I saw y'all on Saturday.
Yeah, you did.
I went to a darty, as the kids say, Saturday afternoon. And then Sunday, I just kind of like lounged around and, you know, went to Pilates and walked.
What a balanced day Saturday was. You go over to Kristen's house where we're having an Easter egg roll with the kids.
No, we didn't roll any eggs. We dyed some eggs and then we hunted for some eggs.
Okay. Well. So we did that, and then you left that, and then went to hang out with your friends and party all day.
I wasn't going to go to the danger, but then I went to Kristen's house, and I was like, I should do something that a 27-year-old would do on a Saturday. So, you know what? Thank you for the motivation to actually get out and be social, because I went with Rebecca to this rooftop thing in Buckhead, and we had a great time. So,
oh, good.
It looked a lot of fun. It was so cute, because, like, and thank you for coming. Love that you came and hung out with us on Saturday. But we were all in the backyard around the table with, I don't know, like how eight kids, something like that, eggs, and Abby came up behind me. She goes, I think I'm gonna go now.
Yeah.
I was like, I think this is my time to leave.
The kids are kidding, so we're taking off.
Yeah. I think you're right. And then I check your stories later, and I'm like, she made the right call.
So funny to watch the kids, because like Kristen said, there were like eight kids there, half girls, half boys. And as I'm looking in the backyard, there's a bouncy house there, which is equivalent for a 4, 5, and 6-year-old to a WWE ring. So you've got the girls playing nicely on the swing in the background, you know,
using the little kitchen area, grilling up leaves and twigs and sticks.
So sweet. Not a peep coming from over there. And then you pan on over to the boys, and they're flying elbows in the bouncy house, headbutting each other.
Sounds about right.
Cries, screams.
There were tears. Shirts came off.
Yeah, shirts came off. Ace is flexing those pecs of his. And then on Sunday for Easter, I tried this church thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
A lot of people were there.
I bet. I heard.
Who knew? Yeah.
I saw.
They talked a lot about Jesus.
You would think.
He's the main event.
Yeah, I went to Gwinnett Church with Amanda and her family yesterday, and then we went to her stepmom's house, and we had Easter lunch, so that was pretty standard stuff. It was pretty cool.
It was a full Easter weekend for you.
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, you guys already heard, like, we had a little Easter get-together that started out, it was just going to be neighbors and an Easter egg hunt in multiple front yards. And then it just kind of snowballed into more people coming. And then it just came like a full-on spectacle, which my husband was not very happy about Saturday morning.
Why?
Oh, no.
Just because it takes, I don't want to say it takes a lot to get the house pulled together, but because we had let the house go so bad, it ended up taking a lot to pull it together and to pull the patio together, because you have to like blow pollen off. And then he ended up going and like rinsing the entire thing. Just stuff adds up before you have like guests over to your home and you want to make it inviting.
Every kid's party needs a Bart. who I called the commissioner all day, or the warden. So
the warden,
it's
yes.
the one that the kids are kind of scared of, right? And mm-hmm. he's making the rounds, making sure everybody's okay. If a kid comes out of the bouncy house and is crying, Bart's the first one over there. Then he sets the rules down. He's the warden. He's the commissioner.
He is.
And every kid's party needs one of those.
It does. But he also was kind enough to point out that you think, oh, he's like the buzzkill or whatever. No, the kids love him. Mm. And they're all about Bart. Yep.
I don't need you to like me. I need you to respect me.
But he's a no nonsense guy.
Yeah, he totally is. How about you, Mo?
It was cool. I had another gout flare up, so that was another surprise. Damn. Yeah, that was awesome.
I saw you limping on Friday, and that's when I was like, oh, dude, please tell me it's not. It's like you actually tweaked something, but
yeah,
no,
it was. I was hoping I tweaked something, but as it got progressively worse throughout the entire weekend, I knew what it was. And so I couldn't really do much. My friends all came over to kick it with me on Saturday since I couldn't go anywhere. So that was a lot of fun. And then Sunday was more recovering. It was very not uneventful.
Yeah, we'll get more into that later on today for sure.
The Burt Show.
All right, Jackson was heading on down to Savannah to a tattoo convention with his girlfriend. His girlfriend was determined to get a tattoo. You knew that was going to happen, but you were going to the convention thinking, maybe I'll get one, maybe I won't, which I said last week is a little bit like going to look at puppies saying, yeah, I'll just walk away from it, which you never do.
Yeah, well, you guys were all having your fun, wholesome family Easter weekends. I was hanging out with a bunch of tattoo-clad heathens and in Savannah for a tattoo convention, which was actually a ton of fun.
Is it the same as like the radio conventions we go to or the podcasting conventions that Cassie and I go to where they have like little stages set up and people are talking for 45 minutes about a different topic in tattooing?
So it's at the giant Savannah Convention Center, and they do have panels, but those are all in like a separate room that you can go in and listen to people. And they do have like some, I don't know, there's like a ton of different things that you could do there, but the main event obviously is tattooing. So basically in the main area, it's a ton of different like individual tattoo booths essentially that are all open, and it's basically artists that are there that are either promoting their work or just tattooing people straight up throughout the entire day.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what was your mentality? She was going in there and getting it done, and you were like, maybe I'll get one, maybe I won't.
Yeah. So she was finishing up a pretty big piece that she was getting on her leg. She had about a month ago, they had gotten about halfway through it and they needed another day to do it. And so her artist was going to be at this convention, so it made sense for us to head down there. So this is going to be like another 5 to 7 hour day of her getting tattooed. Jeez. Which is a ton. And power to her for being able to handle that. And so, you know, while she's doing that, I was like, who knows what'll happen? I'm going to be, you know, walking around, perusing the booths and seeing what's going on. A lot of people have their days booked out, but others have like, I'm available for walk-ups today if you want to. So you can just go up and just get something if you're so inclined to.
Are you a little weary to get into a booth like that, though? Because if they do have availability, is the first thought like, why?
I 100% have that thought of like, is this a bad sign that you don't have, you know, someone here? Like, shouldn't you be booked out today? But obviously, that's not entirely the reason why all these artists are there. And but also a bigger part of me is like, you want to do a lot of research on these artists before you go and get something done, you know, for something stupid like I had gotten where I walked in. It was like it didn't really matter who'd put a rat on my hip, you know, but for something that I wanted for like a little bit of a bigger piece that I was looking for, I feel like I needed to be doing a little bit more research mm-hmm. beforehand instead of just like scanning a QR code and reading, you know, someone's just looking at their Instagram page super quickly.
Yeah.
And so I was really, really going back and forth between a lot. And honestly, when you're walking by a lot of these booths, they have these kind of binders open, which are their flashes, which are designs that they've done before and that they're comfortable with. So you can get those pretty readily. If you want something like super custom made, that's like a much more detailed process, right? And so a lot of these look very similar as you're going through. Like they all kind of have like a very similar vibe. So it's kind of hard to make a decision on someone that you want to go with. But I ended up finding an artist that I really liked. The styling was a little bit unique. It was a little bit different. But he was booked up the entire weekend, which was also a good sign. So instead of me deciding to just go out on a limb and get something kind of reckless and just go for it, I decided against it out of my better judgment.
But you got a belly button piercing instead.
I did not get a belly button piercing instead.
Bummer.
And I decided I looked into this guy, and I'm going to be booking probably with this dude, which I was really excited to actually find something about. But again, I was able to hold my tongue a little
bit. Okay, good for you, man. Uh-huh.
So what did you do for all that time, Mitchell?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I was sat there and was moral support for my girlfriend for a while during it because she was going through it. It sounded like a lot of pain that she was going through towards the end of it.
Yeah. If you get a tattoo, and the largest one I have probably was 2 different 4-hour sessions, maybe. While you're sitting there, it almost feels like, in my mind's eye anyway, it's just, think of it this way, as you have an open wound and somebody is putting something in the open wound and scratching along it over and over and over again.
That's pretty accurate. Yep. And she's a trooper, though. I don't know how she's able to sit there and take it for that long. And then after she was done, I think I posted on my story, a lot of these booths have this thing where it's like a get what you get, roll of the dice. So they'll literally let you roll dice or like spin one of those like old like coin machines and like get a little capsule and whatever image comes out of that, you get tattooed onto your body. And you pay, it's cheaper than
I'm
like
about to say, you get a discount, right?
You get a discount. So normally for a flash, it'll cost $200 for black and white, right? And then, but they'll do a get what you get deal for $100. And she found a list of get what you get from one artist that she really liked and was like, why not do it? And so she spun the coin and she did it. And she ended up really liking it.
Really?
I was like, kudos to you.
What was it?
So it was all Studio Ghibli themed cats, who's like this, you know, very prolific Japanese movie producer and director. And so he has a lot of these animated cats that he really is kind of famous for doing. And so she was like, let's try it. And so she got one that was on there.
I don't like that.
Nah, ain't no way.
You just don't know what kind of mood the tattoo artist is going to be in. And it's Easter weekend, so if they have family issues, it's going to be a mom slapping a kid.
The Bert Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Bert. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's Entertainment Buzz.
I knew this was going to be a big week for the theaters, but not for the movie that I've seen catching tons of headlines. So if you're not one of the girlies on the internet, you wouldn't know that Pride and Prejudice is releasing its 20th anniversary re-release in theaters. All the girls are running to the theaters to watch Mr. Darcy's hand flex in live IMAX screenings. But I feel like the movie I've seen so many people talk about the last couple of days is Michael B. Jordan's new movie, Sinners, and it looks so good. It has been crushing it at the box office, getting about $61 million worldwide. It's already outpaced a Minecraft movie, and it has a 98% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and it is the first horror film in over 30 years to get an A cinema score.
A couple of the movie posters I saw promoting this thing were Michael B. Jordan without a shirt on. So that's going to get a lot of ladies into the theater, maybe not even knowing what this whole thing was going to be about, but it's a horror movie, right?
It's a horror movie that I believe takes place in the 1930s in Mississippi, and it's about two guys who go to open a juke joint and get haunted by vampires. But my timeline was flooded with this movie. Everybody talking about how great it is, and my favorite story that came out of the promo was Ryan Coogler, whose movie is it? He was at a point in his life when he could not afford writing software to make a movie, and his wife purchased it for him for $300, and then now he has some of the highest grossing movies of all time.
Come on. Yeah. That is cool. Yeah.
I was thinking, like, you know, a black man in Mississippi in the 1930s. That's pretty.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all brand.
Well, it looks like he has a lot of really exciting films coming out, too, because he says Ryan Coogler says his next project is going to be an X-Files reboot. So a lot of good content coming from Ryan Coogler pretty soon. All right. Tracy Ellis Ross is causing some controversy on the interweb because people or men are calling women hypocrites, all because of something she said on Michelle Obama's new podcast, in my opinion, with Michelle Obama and Craig Robinson. So Tracy Ellis Ross is a woman in her 50s and she's still single and she's out dating. And she specifically said that she prefers to date younger men. And she explained, she's like, you know, I was trying to do a deep dive with myself. Like, why am I drawn to these younger men other than the obvious? And she said it's because of the way that men her age date. She feels like she is more progressive than the men that are in her age group.
Mm. A lot of men my age are steeped in a toxic masculinity and have been raised in a culture where there is a particular way that a relationship looks. Mm. And anything that starts to smell of that for me, I did enough of it where I was controlled and felt like I was a possession or I whatever those things were, or prize I have no interest in it, and I will not do it again.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. Well, a lot of guys had a problem with what she said because then Lil Duval tweeted out on X, also known as Twitter, and said, Tracy Ellis Ross says that she likes younger men to avoid toxic masculinity. But if men say that about older women, then we're the problem. Y'all are so hypocritical.
Oh, here comes Kat.
Listen, there is something to be said about that for sure. But I'm really kind of tired of the narrative where if women do it, it's not okay. But if men do, you know what I mean? Like, it's not equitable. The whole point is in these scenarios, women are the oppressed class. So it's not the same. So you can't just flip it on its head like that because there's so much more to it. So can you criticize women for saying that sort of stuff? Absolutely. And you should. But it's not the same. And that kind of argument is so lazy and doesn't actually address the problem.
I understand where he's coming from, because especially for black men, I feel like we're a part of the oppressed class as well. And I think they should not have been attacking her. I don't think I understand where she's coming from. Traditionally, dating would be hard for her because she's been famous her entire life. She obviously is going to move a little bit differently than a lot of women would. So I get why she needs it her way. But I think what men should have been focusing on is when we say the same things, it's not received the same. It's kind of looked at as if, well, just take the microphone away from men. And I think that should have been the focus, not necessarily attacking her for her opinion and the way she wants to live her life.
I don't think he makes a bad point if you're looking at two people dating people in the same age range. But what a lot of women see is guys like Leonardo DiCaprio dating women. And then once they reach 25, 26 and their frontal lobe develops, that's when they get discarded. So when women say that men dating younger women is gross, it's usually because we're seeing them date like children, like women who haven't fully developed. Whereas Tracy Ellis Ross, I think, is dating men in like their 30s and 40s. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's very, very different than dating a woman who like just graduated high school or just graduated college. So I think the argument, I think men have validity there, but also I think the argument is a little unbalanced because typically you see much larger age gaps when it comes to famous men dating younger women. All right, Kendrick Lamar is making history as the first artist to do something with a company that has never been done before. I'll explain in your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
The comments I see when I'm traveling now, especially to Europe, some of the comments that I hear or the conversations I'm having about America are really bumming me out these days, man. It has been happening for years. So I posted about it on Facebook, and predictably, what happened on Facebook happened on Facebook. And I'll get into it in just one second. But while you were on vacation, you had a different experience.
I'm here just to offer a little balance. So with the bad comes the good, with the good comes the bad. So we're going to start off with the good, and then you can end with the bad.
Okay. That's what I do.
So, yeah, we were in the Keys for spring break. And there was a very, very lovely family from the UK. They were from London. And Jimmy was the same age as their oldest son. So Jimmy and Raffy were like thick as thieves the entire week. They were in the pool playing with their shark toys together. And then Raffy also has a little brother, Ruben. And Ruben was just, kid was a cannonball. He was jumping in the water 24/7. They were awesome, right? So, of course, This is how it works now on family vacations. Kids mesh. And so when kids mesh, you start talking to the parents because we're all standing there in the pool, you know, being responsible and watching our kids, right? So we're talking to this lovely couple from the UK who, you know, I jokingly said, so you mean to tell me you took like a 15 plus hour flight from London to Florida?
To Key West, too.
Right. Yeah.
Palm Beach is one thing. Key West is another.
And I mean, it was a nice resort, but it wasn't that nice. You know what I mean? And so, because I was like, man, you could hop a train and be in the south of France in less time than that.
Or so many islands off of Spain. And
yeah. And she was just like, they were enamored with the States and they loved the key. Like, they were just so complimentary. And so, and it was genuine because I British people aren't one to blow up smoke. Like, they just very much, they tell it like it is. And she was just like, she hadn't been in the United States in 8 years. And so, and they have like family all over the place, and somebody in his, like his sister married an American, so now she's in the States. So they're just like, they all gathered here at this resort in the Keys, right? And they, she was just gushing about the United States and like how they can't wait to come back. And there's like the terrain, there's just so many different, you know, experiences you can have, from like the Grand Canyon to the you know, like from the mountains to the beaches and stuff like that.
Yeah, how many times have I said on the show before, you never really have to go anywhere if you want to see like beautiful landscapes.
Yeah.
It's all here.
Yeah. And so they were just like, they couldn't wait to come back. And they were just, and I'm looking around and I'm like, wow, have we become that jaded? I mean, are we really not appreciating like fully what's around us and how fortunate we are to have what we have in the States? And I was like, all right, well, kudos to you. However, next time, see you in the south of France.
It just does sound more romantic to say that you're traveling. But yeah, we got it all here, man. I mean, good luck comparing like to the Rockies. This is just an amazingly beautiful country, man. The rivers we have here, the lakes, the beaches, we got it all. Waterfall, we got it all.
The one thing that was they were laughing about is the abundance, like overabundance. Everything is so big here. Food proportions are so, everything is just large and in charge. And like the cars, the vehicles, just like everything. They found that highly amusing.
You take some people that are visiting the United States to like a Costco or a Walmart, they've never seen anything like this before in their life, right? Mm-hmm. And the sizes when you take them out for dinner, like, what?
Yes.
What is this? Mm-hmm. Right? So I had an opposite experience and I've been feeling it for years, and I feel like I've talked about this on the show before. I have tremendous pride in being an American. I really do. So I have seen sort of a decline in perception for a while now. I'd say like 8 to 10 years, to be honest with you. And I witnessed it on the last vacation that I was on. Also, Amanda and I went to the Caribbean, and we went to this French-owned Caribbean island called Guadeloupe, which is a beautiful island, really beautiful. But, man, hardly anybody spoke English on the island, or it was broken English. There weren't a lot of Americans there. We hired a tour guide to take us around the island one day, and she was about 25, 26 years old. And I am always asking, like, what is the perception of America in your country? And she was joking with us and sheepishly said, I'm praying for you guys, right? And we kind of got a laugh about it. But while she did, that also hurt my feelings as an American. And I've seen this for a while now. I think it started years and years ago, I think, when people were starting to question me about our gun laws in our country. That's where I think it started. But I posted her reaction to my question of, like, what's your impression of America on Instagram? And for me, this went viral, which is 250,000 people checked it out. Like, 8,800 people liked it, 819 comments, 2,500 shares. That's big for me. And it turned out kind of the way I thought it turned out. Let me read to you what I wrote, because I was very particular about it. I didn't want to point the finger at any one candidate, but I already knew as soon as I put this down that that's what people were going to do. So I wrote, hurts my heart to admit that in my travels, America is viewed so differently than we used to be. We were in Guadeloupe, French island, when I asked our tour guide about her impression of America. And then I posted the video of her sheepishly saying, I'm praying for you guys, kind of laughing. I laughed, but it hurt. I've traveled a lot in the past. I had such a sense of pride telling people I was an American, and they were so excited and curious. And this has changed in recent years, at least in my travels. We feel like more of a punchline, like they aren't laughing with us anymore. They're laughing at us. And I hate it. And this is what I write on Instagram. And I hate that because I love America so much. And I just have been, it feels to me almost, if you want a sports analogy, it almost feels like when the Patriots were winning over and over and over again, or Alabama was winning over and over again, as soon as they, as soon as it's a perceived slide, everybody's like, they're finally got them, right?
Oh, so our balls are deflated right now is what you're saying? Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
I'm just trying to keep up with the sports analogy, man.
But the comments that I was receiving online, or the arguments, I should say, that broke out online, should have been predicted, right? People thought I was making a statement about Trump, which I absolutely was not. This, as I've said, I've seen this decline for years and years and years, and Biden was the president also. But it immediately started like, oh, you think it's bad now? How about when Biden fell off his bicycle? And then people were starting to rip on Trump, and then people starting to rip on Biden and going back and forth and back and forth. I wouldn't take any impression from somebody that was just serving you a meal or something like that. Or, oh, this is the press's fault because rest of the world is looking at mainstream America, and this is what the media is telling them to laugh at. And that has not been my experience, you guys. And I hate to say this because I really do love this country so much. It's just that I recall for my entire life when I'm traveling, that's the only thing that I've really loved to do, is that people were so like mesmerized by the country, right? It was so big and they were so curious about everything going on. And it's not, it doesn't feel like that to me anymore. They're not as curious. It's like,
it's not the land of hope and promise and the American dream.
I would say that's accurate. Yeah, it doesn't feel that way. It's like, they're not as eager to move here or visit as they used to be. It's like, all right, y'all take care of that. We're going to stay here now.
In my travels, maybe it's because they won't say it in my face. I haven't heard anyone say anything bad about our country, but I have noticed that, like, when someone would meet me before, similar to what you're saying, and they would find out I was from America, there were a lot of questions. They were, like, really excited to learn more. But now it just kind of seems like, oh, and then they just leave it there.
Yeah, it's like, they know you're a tourist, and the people that I'm asking also are in the hospitality industry. So maybe it's not a fair ask because they won't. They're not allowed probably.
No, I just mean just in my travels of like just meeting people in general, not necessarily the people who work there.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Well, of course, non-Americans are going to feel this way about our country because I feel like the American news cycle is the most inflammatory it has ever been. Like any headline you see about the United States is some kind of is in one direction or the other, something very, very polarizing and in your face. And I think my question is like, why do we care? Like these people have no other concept about what it means to be an American or what it means to visit our country other than what the news wants them to see, which of course is nothing but negative, negative, negative. Not saying that there's not negative. I'm just saying these are random people from France or Guadeloupe who just see what the BBC wants them to see.
I kind of feel now when I'm traveling, it's not to brag about America. It's, yeah, I guess it is. It's to be an advocate now more than anything else. Because like you say, they're seeing what's going on in our country through a different frame. And I'm thinking moving forward is that it's going to be my job as an American to go, it's not as bad as people are making it out to be, you guys.
It's all on you. You're our ambassador.
It's all on me.
Well, you feel like it because sometimes when you're traveling, this might be the only experience that they actually have with an American. And that's why I'm so particular when I'm traveling to make a good impression, because this might be the only American that they ever have any interaction with. And I want them to walk away with that going, okay, that's cool, dude. That's cool country. Cass, were you about to say something?
Yeah, I want to go back. Do you really think it's not as bad as everyone else thinks? Because I am a citizen, but I was born in the UK. My family's British. And people don't want to come here because it's not a good country anymore. And I do love America. There's nowhere else I would rather live, honestly. But I think because of the news cycle, like Abby's saying, all of our issues are being highlighted. Mm-hmm. And not to say other countries don't have their own issues, because they do. And there are a lot of them. Don't get me wrong. But I think the shift has come where America used to be for the American dream, where you could start fresh, land of equal opportunity. And I honestly, the way the laws are, And I am not taking a political side here. I'm just saying, in general, the way the laws are in this country right now do not afford equal opportunity for everyone. It is no longer the land of the American dream. It is a very tough place for immigrants to come to. And a lot of the narrative in the news is that we don't want outsiders here. We want only Americans. So if you're in another country looking at it, your country is issuing travel warnings for the U.S., advising you not to go because of gun violence. You know that the U.S. does not want immigrants or visitors like that. They know that women are not treated equally. They know that there are oppressed classes who are murdered or subjected to violence. So if you're on the outside, and like Abby said, you're getting these headlines, yeah, you're not seeing the beauty of the Grand Canyon or the national parks, or you're not even walking the streets and seeing how friendly, like, Southerners are and the community here. Of course they're going to see that, because they just see the U.S. slipping, but in a way that's sad. So when, you know, your tour guide says, I'm praying for you guys, and it's kind of a laugh, I've seen a lot of comments saying that, and there have been protests in other countries for the U.S. specifically because of what's happening. So I think we also maybe have some blinders on, because we know the country is fantastic and we know the strengths and the beauty of this place. But not everyone knows, like Abby said, everyone knows our country. But honestly, the image of the U.S. in the world, on the world stage, has taken such a hit that it is, I'm seeing like positive press for like Denmark and Sweden over and over again, because they are quote unquote doing things right.
I still feel like for every time somebody wants to say something negative about the country or policy in the country, that I can swing back and say, yeah, but here's something pretty great about our country also.
And I think that's great. And I do think that's the work that we should be doing when we meet people overseas.
It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Mo, tell them what the week off celebrity challenge is.
You came in here and promised us a week off with pay if we all, everybody on the show, with whoever can come up with having the biggest celebrity call in and say hello on their behalf.
All right, so this is going to take place over the next couple of weeks. You guys listening are inevitably going to vote on what you consider the biggest celebrity. But at any point during the show this week, we could be in the middle of a deep conversation. If we get a celebrity on the line, we're going to play this for you. We will stop what we are doing. We will break down. We will talk to that celebrity, and it can happen anytime this week. You guys been churning, working a little bit?
Mm-hmm. It's been a busy weekend.
That's what I figured.
I had an Easter brunch to get ready for.
I called some people.
Okay.
I tried to do a few things. Let's just say it's not easy.
No.
Yeah,
no.
It's not easy.
Turns out getting in contact with celebrities is really hard.
Yeah.
I hit up somebody who I thought was like a gimme, right? Yeah, no.
Not so much.
No. They were like, what's in it for the celebrity? And I was like, they get to have exposure on the Burt Show. And then I explained, but then they also get $1,000 for the charity for calling in. No, if the listeners like vote them to be the biggest celebrity. So it's proven to be a little tougher putt.
We don't have the best pitch in the world.
No.
It's not easy.
Yeah,
no, for sure.
It's not.
So I am starting to go through the lasts with my 17-year-old, and it's been a bit of an emotional roller coaster, man. He's about to turn 18 years old, and he's graduating from high school, and I don't think I allowed myself to have the feels until my ex-wife Stacy and I were at his senior night for his soccer team last week, and she said that she has been like crying every other week. She is crying right now. Anytime she thinks that, oh my God, he's going to be, I can't believe that we are going to be moving him up to Athens in August. I can't believe it, right? And she said just the thought of him taking off is breaking her up every week. And I laughed at her at the time. But what it really did was it kind of opened my heart. So now I'm starting to do the exact same thing. So he doesn't have all that many matches left in his high school career. And according to him, he's not going to go on and play soccer in college. So me watching him play soccer, the last game is like coming up. His senior night is coming up. He and I last week went and rented his last tux for a prom, you know, and I was breaking up there also. This weekend for Easter, he was with his mom and her family. I had a weird moment this weekend when it came to Easter. And Abby, I know you're going to talk about how weird yours was too, but they sent me a picture, a very innocent picture of all of them. They went to Hilton Head. So it was my son Hollis, my son Hayden. It was her brother Brandon and his wife and their daughter, Sophie. And Joe was in the picture also this time. And Joe is the guy that I set her up with on the radio, right?
Good to hear that the two of them are still going strong.
Oh, yeah, man. Love it's that. It's the real deal. Yeah, they're going to be with each other forever. I'm pretty convinced by that.
They're coming up on a year, right? In May?
Is it? Is that when we did
has
it? May?
No, it has not.
A year
not.
Already?
I feel like it was May. No?
Yeah, time do be flying.
They said they're willing to come on for an update because I get messages about them all the time. But in this particular picture that Gigi sent me, their grandmother, they were on the beach in Hilton Head and they found a piece of driftwood that they all took this picture on, right? And when we were together, Stacy and I were together, we used to take the exact same kind of picture with the family around Easter and around Thanksgiving. And now looking at that picture with all of the kids grown up and they're all sitting in like the same positions and watching them all grown up and then me not being in that picture and Joe being there, I had a feeling about it.
Really?
I absolutely did. Like, it wasn't like a sense of, oh, I should have, things should be different or anything like that. But I definitely looked at that picture and it just, I'm not exactly sure what I was feeling. I just know I was feeling something.
Was it FOMO?
No, I was having a great time.
Yeah.
I just think that because that family photo was so sort of traditional with me in it, and we're talking about a while ago, just to see the same photo with Joe in there, who's an absolutely fantastic guy, just the fact that he was in it and I wasn't made me feel a certain way on Easter weekend. And then I started thinking, man, this is the last Easter that the kids are going to be like in the house together possibly. And I wasn't there on it. So I was thinking, I was feeling all that.
Gotcha.
But the last are tough, man.
Oh.
They are really tough. I posted that on Instagram and I got a bunch of moms going, I feel the exact same way about my kids. And they are only 4 and 5 years old right now. Like they're thinking, what's going to be.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I didn't say anything in the first e-buzz because it's not really entertainment, but no one has brought it up. But did you guys see that the Pope died?
He did?
The Pope died. I was just watching the news last night. He was in the Pope Mobile going around doing Easter Sunday service.
Was it overnight?
E! News said that the Pope is dead.
16 minutes ago. Breaking.
Oh, wow.
Well, no, I saw it this morning at like 6 a.m., but I was like, surely someone's going to say something. This is not entertainment news, no. So I won't say anything.
And I never watched the news, but last night news was on because my husband, he's all about the weather. Anyway, and I was watching the Pope go around and do his Easter Sunday service, and he was just cruising around in the Pope Mobile, and I know he had just had a battle with pneumonia, and he had been in the hospital for a while, and they were concerned about his health, but
this was so much that, you know, before I come into the show each morning, I'll do like a quick rundown of the news, but that was at like 5 this morning and it wasn't there. And most of the reports I'm seeing now were 9 minutes ago, 48 minutes ago, 18 minutes ago. So maybe they were confirming and then I don't know.
That's crazy for your breaking hard hitting news. Go to eonline.com for all that.
No,
more.
Come to the Burt Show because that's where I got it.
Hype yourself up.
I got it from enews.com. Like that's what's so crazy. It was the number one story.
You got an email from the Vatican letting you know that the Pope is
gone on to bigger and better things.
Actually, that's my celebrity. God has called in this week, and he's using me as a vessel to let you know that the Pope died at 7:35 this morning. A statement from NBC News said, at 7:35, the Bishop of Rome, Francis, returned to the house of the Father. Of course, he was battling some lung infections and pneumonia. I didn't know that he had done the Easter service yesterday, so, like, props on him for, like, getting the job done. Like, no, and then passing away the next day.
Do you think that was, like, some kind of mental or emotional, like, carrot for him?
Probably.
Like, he hasn't been feeling good for a while. He's been in and out of hospitals. Do you think he just said to himself, I got to make it to Easter, you know, when Jesus rose, and then sort of just...
And now I can rest.
Yeah,
no, that makes sense.
I do wonder, because when I Googled it, his death date is today, Monday, April 21st. And I do wonder if a little part of him somehow was like, I can't go on Easter. Like, this is the Lord's Day, so I got to hang in there.
Wow.
One more day, but finish the duties.
She said he was doing services and stuff yesterday.
He was. Yeah, he was in the Pope Mobile. He was going around doing blessings and all of, you know, the... Pope stuff.
That's what's so crazy. It's one thing to like hang on, like you're on your deathbed and you're like, I can't die on Easter. I can't like take the shine away from Jesus. But to actually be out in the world doing your job.
Yeah. When this settles down a little bit, this would be an interesting conversation to have. I don't want to take it away from the Pope at this point, but I think that there are plenty of people listening that have seen this in their own lives, that their parents, like, maybe holding on, but was waiting for their first grandchild to be born or a wedding day. And then right after that, they just sort of relax and let it happen.
Yeah. In other historic news, Kendrick Lamar made history as the first musician to appear in a commercial for Gatorade. I mean, if you've ever seen a Gatorade commercial, it's always a lot of like sweaty basketball players, a lot of like black and white footage to make it look real dramatic and some kind of song in the background. But this is the first time that an artist has ever been featured and highlighted in one.
How much are you willing to lose? Take the 65 gig. Losing steam. Losing players. Losing sweat. The solution?
A drink that hydrates better than water.
So they can work more. Sweat more. Because when you do that, you can surpass the hype. You can inspire generation after generation. You can compete against anything, even gravity. Bing, bop, boom, 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 bop, bam. Expectations, man, you wouldn't understand. Or even yourself, skits, I'm on, you wouldn't understand.
I feel like if you're going to choose an artist for the first Gator or the first artist to be featured in a Gatorade commercial, choosing someone that had that iconic of a Super Bowl halftime performance, it feels like it sort of ties into the whole athletic realm of Gatorade rather than just choosing like some random song that's really big on the radio nowadays.
It makes sense. That's fire. And as much as Drake has always wanted to be an athlete, that probably pisses him off.
Yeah.
Really?
You know, Drake's on the phone today with Mountain Dew.
I'm going to leave with something.
Wasn't he in like a Sprite commercial or something back in the day?
Yeah.
He already had his beverage moment. All right. Lady Gaga is apologizing for something that happened on stage during her Coachella performance. I'm going to play you that viral audio on your next Evas on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.